Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you invite us to pray. And so now, Lord, we want to give this next hour to that. And we want to begin by just singing a hymn and looking at a prayer in the Bible and being reminded of how you instruct us of the importance of prayer and aspects of it. So lead us now in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some notes floating around. The reason I pass out notes is so you can look up scriptures later if you want. But today we're in the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel, and it's the coronation of Israel's first king, King Saul. Israel wanted to be like the world. I wonder how much you and I want to be like the world at times. And they didn't want God as their king. It's often the time seemed like we rebel and we don't want the Lord as our king, but we want to do the things of the world. And so they wanted a king. God said, Samuel, they're not rebelling against me, Samuel, they're rebelling against the Lord, and I'll give them a king. So he anointed King Saul, and now this is the coronation. There's a very important principle here in this whole thing, and that is that they are under God's permissive will. You know, in the garden, one of the main points there in the garden was Jesus' repeated prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, right? And it's so important for us to remember that, particularly in our prayers, not to be praying for what we want, but what he wants. Because what he wants, he will answer. What we want, he may love us too much to give us what we ask for. So we see here now, we're going to see a prayer by the last great prophet priest of the old guard, Samuel. And he's addressing the fact, basically, that they're now in God's permissive will. But even in God's permissive will, God has grace, because he loves us so much. So there's much to be learned in this prayer. We'll get into it for just a few minutes. But I chose a hymn here, which the last near the last verse in this chapter says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Are you thankful in your prayers? Are you considering what great things he has done for you? So I thought, let's just sing this old hymn, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Okay?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
So that is the Chiang Mai Choir at 7:30 in the morning. So in 1 Samuel 12, Samuel is at the coronation address. So this is basically his coronation address to Saul's being crowned. And Samuel says, in just humility, he says, "I've walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, I, witness against me, have I ever taken anything from you or done anything wrong? I just want what is best for you. Yet you have not followed the Lord, but you have chosen a king. So now here is your king. You wanted a king, you got a king." And sometimes that's like with us. We want something, we beg and we beg and we pray, and God eventually gives it to us, but it's not the best thing. We read here then that Samuel sums up the goodness of God. "Israel, you have sinned. Israel, you've been wicked. But God is always good. God is always good. God is always good." In verse 14, he says, or verse 13, "Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you if you fear the Lord, number one, and serve him, number two, and obey his voice, number three, and do not rebel against the commandments of the Lord. Then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God." Make a note of those things in your own life, because if we obey the Lord and are led by his Spirit and are following the word of God, over time he will always bless you. That's the way you're going to live. The best way is by following his instruction. "However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers." So that's another application for us. Don't think that we can sin and get by with it because it's a special condition for us, right? God's rules apply to all of us. There's no exception. There's no rationalizing my sin away. I want to hate and I need to hate my sin in the worst way and not say, "Oh, look at them sinning, look at them, but not me. No, look at me, Lord." And so he sees then in verse 14, "Stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. I'm going to give you a miracle, not to show how strong I am, but to show a sign of your wickedness." So he sends thunder and rain in the middle of a barley harvest where it's normally very dry. And this really impresses them. You know, a lot of us, we like to see signs, right? We like to see miracles, right? We like to talk about, oh, the great miracles. But that's really so much the real issue. The real issue is the power of the Lord and the awesomeness for him. And so the people then, they get all excited with this miracle. So they say, "Pray for your servants to the Lord that we may not die, for we have added to our sins." Then Samuel said in verse 20, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." So that's the grace of God. Even though we make mistakes, even though we make wrong decisions, there is that grace that if we will turn to him, he will forgive and he will lead us. And Samuel tells them, "Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people, but for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people." The Lord does things for us because he loves us. He did things for us and does things for Israel because he loves them, not because they deserve it or have done anything great. Verse 23, and here's the real key to today's prayer request. "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Notice that. Samuel is saying, it's the only place in the scripture that I know where is this, and maybe other places, I don't know, but it's a sin not to pray for the people. And he says, it would be a sin for me to stop praying for them. Amazing. So that means that he's been praying for them all along. Now, this is the best example of intercessory prayer, or one of the best that I can find in the Bible, that your prayer should make such a difference for others that if you stop praying for them, there's a noticeable change. Can you think of anybody you're praying for to that degree that if you stop praying for them, they would all of a sudden notice the change? Assuming we're not that far along, then we want to start praying for them, right? But prayers make a difference. And Kurt was gave us this great message yesterday on that very thing. Prayers make a difference. Prayer makes a difference. It doesn't change God's purposes or God's will. His purposes and His will stand, but He will work through whoever He's going to work through, and if He wants to work through you, He will if you permit Him, and if you won't, you'll go to the next one. We want to have God's Spirit flowing through all of the believers here, all of the churches here, represented here. So Samuel says, it would be a sin for me to cease to pray for you. So he's going to keep on praying for them, even though he's old and about to pass on. And then he says, and I will teach you the good and the right way. Here's the good and the right way. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your hearts, for consider what great things he has done for you. Three things there. Fear the Lord with all your truth. Fear the Lord, serve him in truth, and be thankful. Those are the three things we're to do. Again, fear the Lord. That's a great prayer. I think every ruler and those in authority that Timothy tells us to pray for, that's really, really my prayer every day for them, that they would fear the Lord. You know, so soon they will be bowing their knee to Jesus Christ. So soon they will be confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord. But if they wait till they've taken their last breath to do that, they will be confessing to eternal judgment, right? And that's forever. So even if you know, like ruthless, awful people in the world that you kind of maybe don't even want to pray for them, when you think about them being in apart from the Lord forever, away from His presence, away from His goodness, away from His Spirit, away from His glory, away from anything that's good, can you imagine eternity in that position? That should make us want to pray for every living being on the earth that's a human. I'm not talking about animals. I'm talking every living human being on the face of the earth, right? So that's what Samuel is saying here. I'll teach you the good and right way. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth with all your heart. And consider what great things He has done for you. And then the last verse. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. God says what He means and means what He says. His judgment is always fair, is always right. And we want to be on the right side of Him. Your sins have been judged on the cross by Jesus Christ. That price has been paid. But how we live depends on how we fulfill the purpose for life, right? He's created a good workmanship in each of us before the foundation of the world. And we want to complete those good works, and that's primarily in a spiritual arena. How do we operate in that spiritual arena is through prayer. So we want to pray for others. We want to pray for ourselves. But here this morning, we'll start out with praying everybody. And so shout out, as I said yesterday, the Lord's not deaf. He knows what you're going to say even now before you even pray it. But we like to agree, right? And we can't agree unless we can hear your prayers. So we'll pray about half the time in this large group. And then these tables are just great to break into groups of tables, pray around the table later, because then you can hear one another. And we get about 8 or 10, 12 praying at once instead of one at a time. But let's begin just as one praying as a group. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for your Spirit uniting us in one accord. And we want to speak as one body, because we are led by one Spirit. So lead us in this time of prayer now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.